This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Just over a year after Baltimore, Maryland was rocked by riots in the wake of Freddie Gray's brutal death in police custody, the six officers indicted in the case have all been let off without charges. And then another high-profile police killing in Baltimore County, this time of a young black woman, has shocked the nation. Corinne Gaines was a 23-year-old mother who found herself barricaded in her home with a long gun while surrounded by police. After a five-hour standoff, police fired shots leading to her firing back, and then another round of police shots that killed her and injured her son. Within days of Gaines' killing, Chicago police released shocking videos of their officers pursuing an 18-year-old black youth named Paul O'Neill, chasing him and shooting him in the back. The killings of black Americans by police are an unending series of tragedies that seem to continue unabated. Joining me to discuss that and more is my guest, Jasiri X. He's a well-known hip-hop artist and civil rights activist. Welcome to the program, Jasiri.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, this story of Corinne Gaines has really captivated and sort of shocked people around the country. Just in the past week, I've spoken to several people who have literally been reduced to tears talking about her story. Why do you think of, you know, all of the stories around police killings, this one has particularly disturbed people?
Well, I think if you look at the manner in which the police reacted in this case, I mean, the fact that you send a SWAT team to the house of somebody that basically has traffic violations. You know, the fact that, you know, you kick this woman's door down, you know she's there with her child. And then the fact that you not only shoot and kill her, you know, like I said, showing up SWAT over a traffic ticket, but then you also shoot her five-year-old son. I mean, and this flies contrary to the face of, like, you know, this idea that the police are to protect and serve us. I mean, I don't think if anybody, you know, I mean, does that serve the Baltimore community? I mean, was there anybody that was afraid of Corinne Gaines and because of the fact that she had this traffic incident was thinking that the police needed to deal with her this way? And when they see that she has a five-year-old in the house, that they need to then, you know, kick the door in and shoot into the house, shooting her five-year-old. And I mean, you know, I one of the things that bothers me about it is, you know, to me, when the media takes the police's story, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, and I've seen headlines that said that she was cradling her child and holding a gun. Well, according to whom? Because, you know, the police account of it has already been, you know, seen as not having the full versions of the incidents. First, the police said they unlocked the door and walked into the house. That turned out to be true. The police said they didn't know who shot the child. We turned out that they shot the child. Well, if you're saying she has a shotgun and you know what type of weapons that you have, you can't discern who shot this child or how this child got shot. And then the five-year-old then has a whole different account of what happened, different from the police account. So I think that's the problem. You know, the problem is, you know, we see this young woman who was socially conscious, that had run-ins with the police before and, you know, feared for her life, rightfully so, as a person of color in Baltimore, of the police, looking at the incidences, you know, beyond Freddie Gray, also Tyrone West in Baltimore, where they've been protesting that for, I believe it's been 2 years ongoing. And then you see these police officers get off. And so, I mean, yeah, she naturally had a fear of police and wanted to protect herself and her son. Now she ends up dead and her five-year-old son is shot.
Jasiri, I want to play for you and our audience the last video that Corinne Gaines made. Like so many other politically conscious black Americans, whether they're politically active on the streets or not, they're conscious, they're aware. Many people are active on social media, and Corinne Gaines was no exception. We know that Facebook disabled her account in response to police requests. However, she did post a video, I believe, this one is to her Instagram account. And here is Corinne Gaines. We don't see her on screen, but we see her little five-year-old child on screen, and she's talking to him about what's happening.
What's happening right now? Who's outside?
The police.
And what are they trying to do? It's charging. What are they trying to do?
They trying to kill us.
I'm sorry, dear. I can hear you. Said no.
It's good. Do you want to go out there?
No.
Oh. Okay. What do you want to do?
This.
It's no wrong answer. What do you want to do?
And that is a video of Corinne Gaines' son taken by herself. And this is while the police are at her door. You can even hear one of them yelling. And she's talking to her child. Jasiri, she asks her child in this video what the police are going to do and what they're trying to do. And this little five-year-old child answers, they're trying to kill us. I had spoken just recently with another young mother who's active with Black Lives Matter in Los Angeles. And as part of this occupation of City Hall, demanding that Chief Charlie Beck be fired. I spoke with her and her young son in our show that just aired before this one. And her little child said the same thing, that he was afraid that the police would try to kill his family. What sort of world do we live in when little young, you know, black children, I mean, barely toddlers, this child was five, are clear, you know, see the police not as protectors, but as killers?
I mean, well, we live in a world where Ayanna Jones, a seven-year-old girl, was murdered by the Detroit Police Department. She, you know, they were filming a reality TV show called First 48. They threw a firebomb that first lit her on fire, and then police came in and shot and killed her, then arrested her grandmother and attempted to blame the murder on the grandmother. That police officer was not charged with a crime. We live in a world where Tamir Rice was playing in a park across the street from his house with a toy gun in a state, Ohio. That is a state that has an open carry law. So the carrying a gun in out in the open in Ohio is not a crime. And yet, you know, within seconds of Officer Timothy Lohman getting to the scene, Tamir Rice is gunned down. There's no attempt to give him first aid. They arrest or they put his sister in the back of a car right beside his dying body. And then prosecutor or the DA in Cleveland, instead of trying to indict Officer Lohman, actually defends him and allows him to get off. And so, I mean, living in a world like this, I mean, of course, if you're a child of color, you would be afraid of the police when you see cases over and over again of police, you know, looking at black children, not as children, but actually shooting them down and killing them and treating them as adults. So, you know, sadly, you know, Corinne's five-year-old son was almost killed by a police officer.
Right. He's lucky to be alive.
He's lucky to be alive. And it's like, well, if you as the police officer felt Corinne Gaines was a threat, then shouldn't you have then attempted to protect that five-year-old child? And why is there no negotiation to get that child to safety? Why, you know, the same day Corinne Gaines was shot and killed, it was a white man in Virginia that actually shot at the police when they came to his house, yet they sent a robot in. They had a crisis negotiator, and 7 hours later, he was arrested with no incident peacefully. And but we, as people of color, do not get the same treatment as other people. And so, yes, I mean, you know, I would tell my child the same thing, that, you know, these police officers oftentimes are not your friend, and they don't police our communities with an idea to protect and serve. They police our communities as if they're occupying some, as if it's a military occupation.
Jasiri, let's talk about the importance of speaking up around the police killings of black women. Now, if we look at the numbers, there are many, many more. Black men are the most targeted of any group in terms of demographics and proportional to their population in terms of police arrests, the numbers in which they're imprisoned, convicted, and killed by the police. However, of course, black women are also killed in large numbers, not as large as black men. Why is it important, or what do you make of this campaign, hashtag say her name?
No, I think it's very important. I think when you begin to look at the numbers, when you look at mass incarceration, one of the highest rates of incarceration that has been increasing, year by year is incarceration of black women. And so we are also seeing, you know, black women being killed by the police. We saw it happen with Sandra Bland. We saw it happen with Tanisha Anderson in Cleveland. We saw it happen with Rekia Boyd in Chicago. So it is important, you know, to show that this is not just a black male issue. It's really a war on people of color. It's not even just necessarily a black issue per se, because you've also had a recently four or five high profile killing of young Latinx individuals. You also have Native Americans and indigenous folks have one of the highest rates of police killing as well. And so I think it's important, one, to talk about black women, because oftentimes when black women are killed by the police, it's not the same press. It's not the same, you know, people rallying around them. You know, people were questioning current gangs in a way that they weren't questioning, you know, Michael Brown or other individuals.
Questioning like her mental state, you mean, right? People have been questioning, when, you know, her belligerence and the fact that she was...
Right. Basically blaming her for her own death in the way that people did not blame, you know, Michael Brown, who was also accused of somehow having some negative interaction with the police before he died. You know, people were negative around Corinne Gaines. And I think it's also important to note that oftentimes when black men are killed, black women are the first on the front line, the first to defend, the first to be out there, you know, having rallies. When I went to Ferguson, it was black women that was standing in front of tanks and being tear gassed oftentimes. And so I also think it's important to note that when we're killed, black women always show 100% solidarity with us. And so now when black women are killed, it's up to us and important for us to show that same level of solidarity.
Jasiri, let's talk about the Chicago shootings, the Chicago shooting of Paul O'Neill, an 18-year-old teenage boy who the police chased through neighborhoods. All we have are the video accounts from police dash cams and body cameras at the police. Yes. Chicago police, to their credit, did release. We didn't see on the videos the moment that he was shot, but this young boy was shot.
That's one body camera that they did not release, even though they said that there is a body camera of the police officer actually shooting Paul O'Neill. They did not release that one.
And actually, on the shooting of Corinne Gaines, in the entire five-hour standoff, the police apparently either didn't turn on their body cameras, forgot to, or turned them on and are not showing it to us. There's one image of a policeman at her door, fully armed with a body camera on his helmet, that was clearly a camera. Either it wasn't turned on or they're not releasing the video. And in this past year of activism around Black Lives Matter, body cameras have been offered by the Justice Department and even police departments as a panacea for police violence or against police violence. Somehow the body camera videos just aren't coming up or being released.
Well, I mean, I think we're seeing this as a pattern. I mean, if you look at the case of Ald Sterling, you had everybody associated with that case that filmed that murder has been arrested. You had the store owner was detained for over 4 hours. His surveillance equipment was taken without a warrant. The man who uploaded Ald Sterling's murder to YouTube was arrested. The man whose organization stopped the killing recorded it. Arthur Reed, he was arrested. You know what I'm saying? You had Diamond Reynolds, who filmed the murder of Philando Castile. Her and her four-year-old daughter was arrested. For what reason? You know, we don't know. You just had the brother who filmed the murder of Eric Gardner being given 4 years. And so, I mean, so you're telling us that we're seeing. So this is the thing. So if you believe that Corinne Gaines pointed a gun, why don't you silence us? If she pointed a gun and shot at you and this is what you say, why don't you release the footage? But when you don't release the footage and you lie to us in the initial story, and then we come to find out that that is incorrect, maybe we'll see something on that footage that was wrong. And this is the worst thing about it. You know, in the case of Paul O'Neill and the footage that's released, and this is why body cameras aren't a panacea. So according to the police training in Chicago, police officers are not supposed to shoot at a moving vehicle. But yet we see police officers shooting at, you know, Paul O'Neill as he was driving away, putting other police officers at risk.
And they were in a residential neighborhood, potentially putting other people in the neighborhood at risk.
Right. In a residential neighborhood, then you had him shooting him, putting handcuffs on him, not giving him any first aid or trying to save his life, and high-fiving one another. And so what is this? So you show us this body camera, but are officers being disciplined? Are officers being fired? And so what's the point of showing us a body camera and then we just play these murders over and over again, if there's not even going to be any discipline of the officers? Or when an officer is charged, you have the police union standing behind and trying to protect the officers. You had the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, withholding the murder of Laquan McDonald, that video, for over a year to protect this officer who shot him 16 times. And so, I mean, come on, over and over again, this is why we have no faith in the system. We have no trust in the system. And this is why we can't just believe whatever these police officers say, because time and time again, they say one thing on their report. You just had the officer in the Miami case where the brother was trying to help an autistic man and he was shot with his hands in the air. You had that officer giving false statements, but of course he was not charged. Over and over again, police are giving false statements, and this is probably why we don't see body camera footage, because those police officers' statements and that body camera footage do not add up, and this is why we do not trust the system.
It feels, Jasiri, like we are at a breaking point in the story of police relationship with the Black community and now really with Americans in general, particularly compassionate Americans who, you know, non-Black Americans who are seeing the videos and realizing that, you know, had they, you know, in the past not believed people when they say they're being targeted, now have to believe what they see with their own eyes and are developing a mass, broad-based distrust of police. And then you end up having blowback, some would say, in the killings of police officers themselves in situations like we saw in Dallas. Those situations may be complicated because there were people, ex-military officers involved who might have had PTSD, etc. But it feels like we're at a breaking point, doesn't it?
I mean, we are. And I think that, you know, that's why dialogue isn't enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and particularly dialogue that often tries to portray like there's a balance. See, this is the difference between the police killings or the killings of police officers and the killings and the killings of, you know, unarmed or, you know, legally armed Black people is this. You know, those police officers who were tragically killed in Dallas and in Baton Rouge, they got justice because their murderers are dead. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Makai Johnson and Gavin Long are dead, right? The officer who killed Philando Castile, is he even in jail? Has he been charged? The officers that killed Alton Sterling, are they in jail? Have they been charged? Are the officers who killed Corwin Gaines going to be charged? Are the officers who killed Paul O'Neill, have they been indicted or charged? And so time and time again, these police officers that kill us, they don't even, if they do miss work, is paid, and they get right back on the job and go right along with their lives. Or in the case of somebody like Darren Wilson, there's some massive campaign. They get hundreds of thousands of dollars in their own defense, and they can go on and do something else with their lives. That's not justice. And that was the saddest part to me when I watched the Democratic National Convention. And I know Sabrina Fulton, Trayvon's mother. I know Wanda Johnson, Oscar Grant's mother. I know Jordan Davis's mom. I know Sandra Bland's mom. And the sad part was to seeing them on that stage at the DNC is that before they took the stage, Eric Holder took the stage. And despite having a Black attorney general and despite having a Black president, we couldn't get any justice for these moms on a federal level. And it's the inaction by the federal government and state governments and oversights to these police departments is why we're at this breaking point, because you see time and time again, police abusing and misusing their power, yet without any checks and balances, without any real discipline of these officers, they're going to do it again and again and again. And in the case of Paul O'Neill, give themselves high fives. One officer said, make sure your camera's off. And so when you see cameras being turned off or cameras falling off or microphones falling off, these police officers know that there's no discipline if they do that. That they won't be, you know, look at the case of Sandra Bland, where the police officer wanted to testify against his own fellow officer who said when he arrested Sandra Bland that he had no reason to arrest her and he makes something up when he got back to the police headquarters. And they told him that there would be retaliation if he testified against his fellow officer. This is the problem with the system. And until it's corrected in some type of real legitimate way, whether it's federal oversight, whether it's state oversight, whether it's real legislation, then it's going to continue until we reach a breaking point, which may mean, you know, America going up in smoke.
Jasiria, I want to thank you so much for your passion and your clarity. Give out a website where people can find out more about your work and also your music, which we didn't get a chance to discuss.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we have an organization in Pittsburgh that we started called One Hood, where we mentor youth of color. We teach them how to analyze media, create media for themselves. You can find information at the number one, hood, HOOD.org. Myself, I'm at jasirix.com, JASIRIX.com, and you can find more information about me.
And we'll post links to that from our website later today. Jasiri, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Jasiri X is a well-known hip-hop artist and civil rights activist. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.